Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 1st of October. October?
Mm-hmm.
I want it to still be August. Mm. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 62nd day of August, Anno Domini 2016, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edner.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Haven't you noticed that the days are getting awful shorter?
Shut up.
I mean,
shut up.
Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be dark when I go to work and dark when I get home from
work. Shut up.
No. Well, I just...
I don't know why I care. I'm retired. I can just sleep in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I'll start texting you at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get...
Yeah.
You're still up, though.
I'm still up. That's exactly
but
right.
But at least you'll be up to take the call.
All right, we have actually three things to talk about before we start taking calls, but you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. After I wrote the news and did all of that, I got a call from a couple of different anonymous sources who tell me that 1,200 mid-level managers were laid off company-wide at Frontier yesterday, all of whom were salaried, all of whom were mid-level managers. There's a hiring freeze through the rest of the year. I don't know what that bodes in terms of the company, but it's a little scary.
Discerning.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting. And but 1,200, well, I heard 1,000, I heard 1,200, but let's call it 1,000. It's still a bucket load of people, possibly a metric bucket load of people. And that's news that I heard last night. The other thing, of course, is ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. For the last 20-plus years, it has been run by the United States. Every couple of years, the Department of Commerce signs a contract with them. Basically, it just says, yeah, go ahead, run the Internet. ICANN signs it, says, okay, I'll do it. It's a $0 contract. So nobody gets bent out of shape about it. It always passes. But as of midnight last night, it was actually handed over to an international consortium and now no longer run by the United States. Of course, the fearmongers in Congress tried to block it because they said that the minute we hand it over to the consortium, it'll be run by terrorists. No. And theoretically, that all happened at midnight last night. And as we can see so far, everything still seems to be working.
The vast majority of people in this world are not terrorists.
Yeah.
The odds of finding a terrorist are extremely low.
Yes. And, of course, the reality is that the consortium didn't actually change. It just stopped being overseen by the United States.
Yeah.
But at any rate,
which a lot of the country thinks we are the terrorists.
Well, exactly. So a lot of the world does. Yeah. And so, those two things happened yesterday there you have it.
One report I just found is saying that because Frontier acquired all of Verizon's landline, and internet businesses, especially in Tampa Bay and around the country, Verizon is concentrating on mobile, and so Frontier is buying all their landlines. They now have redundant people that used to work for, you know, Verizon landlines.
1,200 is a lot of redundant people.
This article says 250. So
when was that article?
29th.
Yeah. So I heard 1,200. It could be. I could.
It's know, well, whatever. It's growing. You know, there were 250 that day.
Right.
Then the next day.
Right.
Yeah. They just slowly, you know.
Because now, you know, now the
I heard 1,200 yesterday.
The market's closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. That's a little scoop here at Soundbites. But let's go to the actual news item of the day. Google is planning hybrid devices that run both Android and Chrome OS, including one convertible laptop and one Huawei HUAWEI, I believe is pronounced Huawei, Nexus-branded tablet, according to current rumors. There is another rumor that says a convertible notebook is on the way. The Andromeda Project bakes Chrome OS features into Android, giving you the best of both worlds in one place, according to early reports. This would make a lot of sense for a thin convertible laptop device like the so-called Pixel 3, which is said to be launched in third quarter of 2017, which will potentially boast a 12.3-inch touchscreen display. The report claims this won't be a lightweight Chromebook-style machine on the spec side. It will have either an i3 or i5 Intel Core processor, 128 gigs of onboard storage, and either 8 or 16 gigs of RAM. They also suggest it'll get two USB-C ports and stylus support for a separate Wacom-enabled pen accessory, which would suggest capable, advanced, pressure-sensitive abilities for drawing and graphics. Such a hybrid would be very interesting from Google and something that could potentially prove a model for powered-down market devices aimed powerful to how was it market early this morning? We market moved and I haven't worked that hard in a long time. Devices aimed at education and even enterprise use, if they can demonstrate desktop power via the Chrome OS features alongside Android's mobile convenience. This first device will likely be priced higher and aimed at a higher echelon of consumers, however, similar to the original CR48 and the Pixel Chromebooks. Rumors of the dedicated tablet suggest that the company is thinking about how to make the Andromeda experience work on mobile-first hardware. I'd personally like to see this come to Android smartphones, too, as it would be a better answer to the one-device-to-rule-them-all problem that Microsoft made a faint attempt at solving with Windows 10 and its ability to plug into external displays for more traditional desktop experience. It's not clear whether we'll see evidence of these at the October 4th event that Google is planning, and given the launch timelines, it wouldn't necessarily make sense, but there should be plenty else to see next Tuesday, including new rumored Pixel-branded Android phones. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google's merging Android and the Chrome OS. Your choices are, I can't wait, good idea, interesting, I guess, and eh. so far, we've got 24 votes, and interesting, I guess, followed by meh, followed by I can't wait, and only three of you think it's a good idea. But I know you'll have more to say about this, so if you head down, scroll down on the right, you will see under Fascinating Stuff, the first link is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And so far, at least, the first item in the poll discussion is 1 October 16, or I suppose 62 August 16, Google's merging Android and the Chrome OS. And I seem to have clicked into picture galleries. But yeah, there it is. And so far, we've had three posts. And we'd love to have you join in to that conversation. And of course, you can join in with us. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
So first there was the Andromeda strain.
Right.
Which was bad. There is an Andromeda project already, andromedaproject.org. In case you didn't know, we're on a collision course with the Andromeda Galaxy. In about 4 billion years, we're going to collide with Andromeda. Now,
look, wait a minute. That's after the heat death of the sun, isn't it?
Well, that's the question. It'll in about 4 billion years, the sun's going to expand into a red giant.
Right.
And greater than the orbit of Earth. So we're dead either way.
4 billion years
but,
from now.
But which way, which one's going to happen first?
Is that not a political point in this year's election?
Yeah, in 4 billion years, we're all going to die one way or another.
Right. Actually, the first thing was Andromeda, the queen of the king.
Yeah.
Right. That's in mythology, the daughter of the Ethiopian king Cephas, and his wife, of course, Cassiopeia.
Did you see all the mess? Listed last week about NASA changing the zodiac?
Oh yeah, which was just so much eyewash.
Yeah,
yeah.
How much hooey anyway? There's supposed to be 13 signs in the zodiac.
Ophiuchus.
Right. Then no one can pronounce it, so they left it out.
Right.
but if you look at some of the charts, you'll find Ophiuchus because that crosses the plane of the ecliptic at certain times of the year.
Yep. Yep. And it should be there, and it isn't. And I would have been pushed back into Leo.
Yeah, so what'd you say? Sagittarius is only 6 days of the year, but they fake it by removing Ophiuchus.
Right, right, right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark, what's up?
Hi, how's everybody doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Got a little problem, I think. I don't think it's major, but wanted to run it by you guys. When I reboot the computer after I've upgraded now to the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, I get a program compatibility assistant that comes up, and it says a digitally signed driver is required, and it's for sfusbexdisk.sys.
SF as in science fiction?
Yes.
Okay.
No, FS as in Frank Sam, USBEXE.
Oh, FS.
FS.
File system.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
It says yes. Windows blocked this installation of digitally unsigned driver. Uninstall the program or device that uses the driver and click and check the publisher's website for digitally signed version of the driver.
Right. And so that is exactly what you have to do. Well, the basic idea here is that you have theoretically a USB external drive.
Which makes me think it's part of the Windows OS, because Windows handles USB drives itself.
Well, there is one in the Windows OS, but it is possible that when he installed this drive, it installed its own driver.
That could be.
Do you have an external USB drive?
I've got quite a few drives, which makes it kind of complicated. But from what I gathered, from what I've researched, this keeps coming back to Samsung.
I was just going to say, it's Samsung.
Yeah, and I think it came from my Galaxy player, you know, the MP3 player.
Oh,
because
yeah,
loads
sure.
as a USB mass storage disk.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And I did what I at one point I had keys on here, which I absolutely hated, and I uninstalled it. And then because I did not like that program for transferring anything.
Right.
And kind of used it as a mass storage device and swap files back and forth. And then I did uninstall the player from the system hardware-wise, but I still get it. It doesn't come up every time I boot, but mostly every time. Then I remembered back when I had Windows 7, every once in a while I would get a little thing that would pop up on the screen. It said a program's trying to send you a message. And you clicked on it, and you got a screen, and it said this FSUSBEXE disk.sys. And it gave you this convoluted message, but that was on 7. So I think this problem has been around for a while, but it's manifesting different in Windows 10.
Yeah, all right. First, you should know that there are a couple of viruses that masquerade as the FSUSBX disk.sys program. So you definitely want to dance Security Tango.
Okay.
At, of course, securitytango.com. And that's first. Depending on the result of that, what you probably need to do is just update that driver. And
you may have to find that file or process in your system and see who the manufacturer is. If it is a Samsung replacement driver for a Windows system, I wonder if you could just delete it and Windows would reinstall its own.
That's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, it is Windows.
It is Windows after all. But if it is in fact a virus, then removing it should replace the original. But
right, and if it isn't, how do I go about finding this particular one? I've had no luck.
Well, you should be able to do a search.
You'll have to turn on system and hidden files.
Right.
It's probably in the Win32 directory.
Okay.
Right. Hold on. We got to take a quick break. Stay on the line, will you? Hello? Okay. Stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Mark from Greece, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And if 24 minutes after the hour, we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. You still there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so here's the deal. FS USB X disk is a... program that, as we said, lets you hook up an external USB drive, and it's the file system driver for it. It's Fuse, file user space something. You can theoretically, well, first take a look and see if it's .sys or .exe. If it's .exe, it's a virus.
Okay.
But you're going to dance Security Tango anyway.
It said .sys.
Okay, that's good. That's a good thing.
And I found it in Windows Sys WoW 64.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
All right. The theory here, and believe me, it is only a theory, is that you have some sort of Samsung software installed. If you do and you remove it, the theory is it will put back the correct FS, USB, et cetera. .sys driver.
That didn't work because I uninstalled it. it's still there.
Oh, and it's still there.
Yeah.
Then what you need to do, when was the last time you did the update? You did the anniversary update.
Yeah, I did that a little over a week ago.
Yeah, and that didn't fix it.
Yeah, this actually, it just now, instead of, this is, actually, I haven't got this message similar to this message since Windows 7. Since I went to 10, I haven't had this until the anniversary update.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was different in 7. Like I said, it set a program's trying to send me a message, and then I click on it, I get a blue screen with all this ambiguous writing in it that, you know, told me something about this, but it didn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And now I just get this that it stopped it. It blocked it from installing it because it was digitally unsigned. Is what it said it is. Windows blocked the installation of a digitally unsigned driver.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, man. So the real question is...
Well, because that's one of the safeguards they put into Windows 10 is all drivers must be signed. And the bad guys don't buy certificates to sign their drivers.
Right. And that's part of the problem. And I don't know of anybody who actually makes a signed version of that. So dance a Security Tango and see if the whole thing goes away.
Okay.
If not, what I might suggest you do is rename that file.
Okay.
Or copy it off. Don't just delete it in case you do need to put it back.
Okay.
Right? But copy it off to somewhere else. Move it so it's no longer in that subdirectory and see what happens. Although that may, in fact... still cause a problem because the registry will still be looking for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not a big deal because it's not letting it start. It just keeps giving me this message that I have to say, you know, okay.
Right. I realize it's more an annoyance than a problem, but even so.
Don't restart.
Well, yeah, just never restart. That works on Linux. Doesn't work so much on Windows.
Yeah, at some point you have to restart. So...
Restart, but, then get your cup of coffee, you know?
Right. I will search to see if there's any other Samsung software on here, but the only software I installed was that Key software.
The other thing you can do, which is what I would honestly try first, is go to Samsung and see if there's a new version of the driver.
Okay.
That is indeed digitally signed.
Okay.
The Samsung should sign their drivers. They're a big enough company.
Right, right. But if it's been in there since Windows 7, it may be unsigned.
Yeah.
But and that may be part of the problem. It never updated. And Windows wouldn't update it because it's not really a Windows file. It's a Samsung file.
Right.
So the first thing I would do is go to Samsung and see if they have a digital a Windows 10 compatible version, which will, of course, include digital signing.
Okay, because there's these are back from December 2012.
Yeah,
and there's two of them, and there's a FSUSBX service.exe and the exdisk.sys. They were both installed at the same time.
Right. So first. Although it's pretty unlikely, first dance to Security Tango.
Okay.
Then second, go to Samsung and see if there is a Windows 10 compatible version of this file or of the software for that external drive. I'm not sure how you would find it at Samsung, but I personally would suggest searching for the driver for that external drive.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, that's
frustrating.
Well, that's mm-hmm. that's the problem with a lot of this stuff. When things live in something as fragile as the registry and as improperly maintained as the registry, and then you go from version to version of the operating system, it's a problem.
Not on Chrome.
Yeah.
Not on Chrome. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now
I just updated this machine this morning. And it just replaces everything, and it's as good as it's ever going to be.
Yeah, I asked this question off the air last week, but when they merge Chrome and Android, does that mean that Android exploits will be able to affect Chrome machines?
That's a very good question.
And it depends on how good the sandbox is.
Well, it depends on how they manage it. Right now, of course, as I've said before, there are two versions of the Chrome operating system in this machine. And one of them is locked. So every time you turn it on, it compares the two.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't match, it goes to the tiebreaker, which is a secret place in Google. And Google then says, oh, yeah, this is the good one. So the good one boots. And then once the good one has booted, it replaces the bad one with a good one. So
theoretically, just rebooting would clean whatever.
So rebooting cleans whatever is the issue. Now, if that remains true for the for Andromeda, which is the Android Chrome hybrid,
and that's due out. You said what?
We don't really know.
Well, I mean, when
theoretically, hear about it October 4th.
All right. So supposedly, like. My Chromebook, I'll be able to start running by the year's end Android apps.
No, probably third quarter 2017 is one of the things I've heard. Oh. But we don't know officially until Google I.O.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we don't know officially until Google I.O., which is the 4th, Thursday, gotcha. Whatever that is, Tuesday.
Gotcha.
Where was I in the middle of before?
Sandboxing and...
Oh, yeah. So theoretically, if Andromeda continues working the same way that Chrome OS does, then it's going to be very protected.
Yeah.
If not, then there's an issue. But I would imagine that Google would do its best to remain... Oh, where'd it go? There it is. Thank you. To remain with the good stuff. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Smiley. From Rochester, New York. What's up, Smiley?
I have a Windows 10 that is in La La Land. And it started when I downloaded or tried to update to that Windows anniversary. It goes to 99% and stays there. I can stay there all day, all night, and when I... open the computer in the morning now, it's there at 99% and won't do nothing.
You're not the only person who has encountered this. It's actually fairly prevalent. Is this a machine that started brand new as 10 or was an upgrade from 7?
It was an update from 7.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're seeing for most of them. The best thing to do is to wipe the machine and just install 10 again from scratch. That, of course, means you want to have your serial number, and hopefully you've got backups of all your data.
Back up your data first.
Well, if he's stuck in the middle of that, then the only way you can really update your data is to do something like boot with a Linux distribution and copy all the files out to USB drives of some sort, and then do the clean install. But what we're seeing a lot, and this, we were just talking about this, there's cruft in the registry from Windows 7. Windows 10, when it updated, rather than copying the clean stuff out of the registry, it just continued to use the old registry. And all the cruft from 7 is still in there, and cruft that was okay in 7 is causing issues in 10, particularly with the anniversary update.
Creeping cruft.
Creeping cruft. So at the moment, at least, there's not much. I mean, there are, I suppose, a couple of things you can try, but...
Could he try reinstalling the standalone anniversary update? If you have another computer...
Well, the problem is he's stuck at the spinning wheel.
And it will never get to the desktop to do the install.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I tried it from, I believe that was the file that you put on the thing last week, and I copied that to a USB, and that didn't work. It was the same as some of the other ones that
now,
I've got on there already, and
Smiley?
It just doesn't go past that 99 point.
Smiley, what about
right.
if you can reboot in safe mode and get back to a restore point?
I don't think this has got any restore points on it.
All right.
It's my wife's computer, but she doesn't do anything on the computer. The kids bought her the computer, but I'm the only one that keeps it updated and everything like that. And I had it. You wouldn't have known it was a Windows computer the way it booted up because my daughter there likes unicorns. And when it booted up, it had all unicorns and everything and that so forth. It was neat the way the thing booted up.
Now, what
yeah, but that may be what caused the problem, right? I mean, whatever little programs she put in to do stuff may have been what caused the issue.
Well, it's not. It boots up into Windows. Didn't have any problems booting into Windows 10 and everything in that, you know.
No, I understand that, but Windows 10 anniversary is a whole different thing.
That anniversary thing.
That's the point. The Windows 10 anniversary is really an entirely different operating system.
Before, I would still try to get into safe mode and see if it can still go back to that point where you installed Windows 10.
What is it, last known good configuration?
Yes, last known good configuration.
Yeah. Let me tell you what Microsoft says to do about this. You're going to love this. We recommend the user wait until the upgrade completes before taking further action. Users can keep working as normal while the upgrade is in progress. A delay of one day would be highly unusual, but we recommend that users wait that long for the upgrade to complete or to confirm there is an issue. At that time, users should reach out to Microsoft support or visit a Microsoft store location so we can look into the issues with the PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to find a Microsoft support, a legitimate Microsoft support
phone
number?
Well, right, right, mm-hmm. right.
You said to take in, because I've got a copy of the Windows 10 on a DVD. So, okay, I'll take and clean them, and it should update. I shouldn't have any problems as long as I've got the serial number.
As long as you've got the serial number, it should install just fine.
Okay, then that's what I'll do.
I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you, but Microsoft doesn't have a better answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll try that.
All right. Thanks. Sorry.
Right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck, Smiley.
Bye-bye.
Or buy her a Chromebook.
Yeah, really.
Really. That's kind of the way that works.
Like I say, before doing that, I'd still try to get into safe mode.
It can't hurt.
No.
It certainly can't hurt, you know, at this point.
But if there is no data he needs to be saved, then quickest thing is erasing the song.
Because it is, you know, in the safe mode, it's going to load the bare minimums. You know, maybe not all the other features that this new enhanced Windows 10 edition was going to do for him, that he can at least get back to when he first installed Windows 10 on that machine. So, I mean, it's worth a shot. I mean, nothing ventured, right. Nothing gained.
I just remembered, what some people have found works is to disconnect everything else. So if you've got, like, extra hard drives.
Mm-hmm. Or printers or scanners externally.
Printers and scanners and pretty much everything except the C drive, right?
Just a bare machine.
Right, right.
Just the keyboard, mouse, and internet.
Right. And update that, and then if that installs, when you replug in your external hard drive or whatever that all is, it'll find it and say, "Oh, I need a new driver," and then it'll get the new driver. But that's something I keep forgetting to tell people: is when you do the upgrades, unplug everything except the keyboard and mouse and screen. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz, 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz, 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at discombobulated here, at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Bodan from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good afternoon. I've got a quick question. Certain websites that want to use your location, but first you need to go to settings and turn on location. I've been reluctant to do that, so it's in the off position now. What are, in your opinion, what's the advantage and also the disadvantage of having the location turned on your computer? Actually, this is the newer computer. This is the one that runs Windows 10.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the website. The advantage to some websites like weather sites and blah, 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 means that you get your weather and stuff like that.
Mapping sites.
What?
Mapping sites.
Mapping sites, yep. Things like that. Absolutely. Those are, you know, that's the reason those things exist. Other sites just want to know where you are because they want to know more about you because they're nosy sons of guns. So I always have it ask me. And about 99% of the time I block it.
Now, theoretically, it could be location-based advertising, you know. So you're in Nebraska in January. All right, here's ads for mittens and coats.
And vacations in Florida.
And vacations in Florida. Yeah.
So the bottom line, in your opinion, should I turn it on or should I go to settings and actually let me click settings and see what my options are?
You usually have to turn it on in general, and then each website that wants it will ask if they're allowed to access your location data.
Right. I personally leave it on and then block or allow depending on what sort of site I've gone to and whether I want them to have that information. Now, they're always going to have the general information, right? So I'm on green light so that they know I'm somewhere in Western New York.
By your IP address.
By your IP address.
Uh-huh.
Or by the server address. Because my router actually gets... it's not actually a router. I understand that. But my router, my modem, rather, it's not actually a modem. My router gets an IP address on Greenlight's network. So you can easily see that your network is in a Greenlight address, which is, Rochester environs.
Uh-huh.
But what they want to do is get as close as possible. And there are other tricky ways they can do that. But I don't. You know, other than for, like Steve said, mapping sites and for weather sites and things like that, I don't want you to know where I am. The hell with you.
Actually, in my particular setting right now, it's the location service is on, but then under the general location, it's turned off. And maybe that's what's triggering occasionally the pop-ups, asking so they can get on my,
Right.
Right.
I always get it when I go to the FedEx site to track my packages.
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's because they want to tell me where the closest drop-off location is. Well, I know that, so stop asking me.
right.
Although sometimes, are they open till 6 or 7 today? All right, now I want you to tell me.
Right.
Okay, so the bottom line is this, just be cautious and, you know, just monitor what who wants to know where you are, right?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's a little bit of annoyance, but the reality is that by letting it ask every time, you get to granularize how you want to be tracked on the internet. You get to say yay or nay to each site.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, for some people, that's a very good thing. Other people never want to be tracked. They're always going to be able to track you generally. They just want to narrow it down more.
Alrighty.
Okay, no.
Thank you.
Yep, burr.
Bye.
I realize that was almost a non-answer, but the reality is there's no actual answer to that. I mean, it is what it is. So.
And if you want to get really scared, go to the EFF's Panopticlick website. There are more and more ways to uniquely track your computer. See, right. And that's the whole thing. It's your computer. It's not you. They don't know who's actually using it.
Right.
The Panopticlick goes through and finds out all the stuff your browser tells a web server. You know, what size screen you're on, how many fonts you have installed, what specific fonts you have installed. And they can pretty much uniquely identify a computer, from the millions of people that have run this test. You know, it's you are you. This is the one computer we've
right.
never
this
seen.
This computer is yep. this computer.
We've never yep. seen anything exactly like that before.
Yep, yep. And so when you go to certain sites, if you have logged into that site, like Amazon or Google or Microsoft or, you know, Apple, anybody, they can then link that computer to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. you logged on, identifying yourself as a person, you logged on at that computer, so they know.
Right.
All right.
All I can say right now,
I want green light. I know you want green light.
Those of us that don't have it want it, and we're frustrated. Those of us who do have it
are gloating.
And yeah. it's frustrating. It takes so long to come into a neighborhood through all the town and city and village
ordinances.
Yesterday, just a few days ago, because you had mentioned all the streets in Irondequoit, and I was looking them up, and it's like, oh shoot, they're all north of me.
Yep.
They're all north of Ridge Road.
And, yeah, I've got installations east and west of me, but they haven't made it to my road yet.
I will tell you this though, I have friends who have recently moved, and they specifically look for places that had green light.
I wish
it's not the number one thing on their list. The number one thing on all their lists was school district.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah,
but you know, inside that
second criterion
was green light. Yeah,
I think I got to print off some of those flyers and go up and down and talk to some.
That's how it works.
You know,
so you don't print them out; they send them to you.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask them to send.
Go on the website and tell them you wanted the packet.
Because I've got a number of businesses, up and down the street there, and then the fire department down the street. You know.
Yeah.
Let's see what I got to do.
Do what you got
to
do.
I mean, to have 100 megabits compared to
it's a beautiful thing.
Five.
It's a friggin' beautiful thing
mm-hmm.
and well worth the money.
Oh,
50
yeah.
bucks a month is well worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need gigabit. I want gigabit, but I don't need gigabit. Mm. I really don't even need, 500 megabit, but I do love my 100 megabit. Yeah. I love that.
And we've said over the years, back when modem days, 24K.
Right.
Was fast. In the
300K.
300
baud.
Was
a miracle.
Yeah. And
300 baud.
Yeah. You would download, 5 or 10K files.
Right.
And that took an hour. And then we got, 56K modems, and you would download, 100 meg files, and that took an hour. And then we got, cable internet, where initially at 10 megs, and you would download a gig file, and that took an hour.
Right.
So all the files we're downloading just keep growing as fast as the internet does.
Right.
So even with Greenlight, you want to download a big file, it'll take an hour.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I told you the other day when
the files haven't grown fast yet.
Right. When you said send me your copy of last week's or two weeks ago soundbites, I started the upload, and of course you get that in a little screen. And I wrote to Steve and said, okay, it's uploading to the usual. Oh, it's done.
Done. Yeah, no.
And I got a rude reply. I did not deserve. Well, yeah, all right. I did deserve it.
Yes, you did.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Ron from Rochester, New York. What's up, Ron?
Yeah, hi, guys. I got a brand new laptop. We have a solid state hard disk in it, and we have Windows 7 in it. We have Skype as well. And the problem is when we receive a picture from somebody else, it bounces around. It doesn't stabilize itself. It's almost like it's a cartoon type character where it's frame by frame. And we keep getting a little picture on the bottom of the screen that says optimize your camera.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out what is going on or how we can correct it.
Well,
how fast is your internet service?
We're using Google Chrome.
No, not your browser, your service. Is it Frontier? Is it Verizon? Is it
it's
Time
Frontier.
Warner? That's the problem. DSL internet is fairly slow compared to other services. And if you hit that optimize button, it will probably take you to a page that will let you lower the quality to match your internet speed.
Okay, so that's nothing that, like a tracking problem or anything?
No, the real issue is the speed of your internet connection, particularly if someone else is using the internet at the same time.
And
video is big. Video is a very big drain on the size of your bandwidth, the amount of bandwidth you have. So particularly when you're on something like DSL and you're on 1 gigabit, 2 gigabits, maybe even up to 5 gigabits, particularly when you're down at 1 and 2, video can overwhelm that. So if you lower the video quality at both ends, that will help. And that optimize your video link theoretically will help you do that.
Okay, so how would I go about doing this? Because originally I thought it might have been a tracking problem. It just seems to be. See, the thing is, it's a solid-state hard drive. Microsoft downloaded 10. We deleted that. We formatted the disk. And I thought maybe because what we did may have caused something, you know, one of the drivers or something like that.
But yeah, nope.
Do you have the latest version of the Skype program?
No, it's the latest one. We got it all updated and everything. Yeah.
Right. So here's the thing. Is this a USB? Is this a built-in? Is this a laptop and it's got a built-in camera?
Yeah.
Okay. That is actually a USB camera. So the first thing to do is unplug any other USB devices that you can.
Okay.
Keyboard, mouse, printer, scanner.
Right. Because it's a laptop, you've got a keyboard and a monitor right in the machine anyway. And that will help. Make sure you've got a good bright light on there. That will help. And then click on that optimized video link and see and let it do its thing.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, we'll try that.
If that doesn't fix it, then you've got two separate problems. If you've got an older laptop, it may not do high-end video very well, particularly if it's an older processor, not a lot of RAM.
Yeah, how much RAM does that?
That's much more important.
4 gig of RAM.
Well, that's not a lot anymore. It's enough for most things. But if it's an older machine with a lower-end processor and not necessarily fast connections inside the machine, that will be an issue. But mostly, honestly, it's going to be the video. When you do, because you see, it's two-way video. You know, when you're on YouTube or something like that, it's only video coming to you, so it can use the entire bandwidth, and it should look pretty good.
Right.
But when you're doing two-way video, then you're only able to use half the bandwidth for one way.
Okay.
And for example, if you were to call someone up and you did not turn on your video, you might see an improvement from their picture. And as a test, that's not a bad thing to do.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, originally we were under tools and options and all this stuff. We went into quality of picture and try to find everything we possibly can. And we just kept getting this optimized window and, you know, we were just totally.
That's basically telling you your bandwidth is too low and it needs to optimize it.
Yeah, okay, well, now we've got something to go on.
Yeah, so. and there's nothing much you can do beyond increasing the bandwidth that you get from your provider. And that means talking to them and probably paying more money or moving to another provider if they can't give it to you. I hate to say that, but there comes a point, and this is a problem. We were just talking about this, as a matter of fact. You know, when all we had were 300 baud modems, we were happy to get anything. But as the internet and our use of it becomes more sophisticated, we want high definition video and audio and six different people doing six different things simultaneously, and that requires bandwidth. And when you get a lower end bandwidth internet connection,
before when we had those. A different laptop, the same hard drive and everything, and we used the same Skype. I think
it did work before.
Everything was working fine until we got a new laptop
and
formatted the disk.
Yeah, a different laptop would have a different processor in it, and maybe that processor had more cache, and maybe that camera was lower quality, so it didn't need as much bandwidth.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if it was exactly the same machine.
Okay.
Then it would be
a driver issue. But if it's two different machines, you can't compare them.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I don't like comparing
do you still have that?
I'm curious of why it was so good before, and then all of a sudden everything just went the other
lower,
way.
Lower end camera, different internals.
Do you still have that old computer?
Pardon me?
Do you still have the old computer?
No.
Okay. Because one thing you can try is two computers on the same LAN. So inside your house, do a Skype call. And if it works fine there, then you know it's your internet service. It's not the computer.
You can also try that between a computer and a tablet or a computer and a phone.
Okay. Is it possible it could be the video card, too? Would that have any effect on it?
It's unlikely if you can do YouTube and not have a problem there.
Okay.
So if you can do full-screen YouTube and not have an issue, it's unlikely to be any hardware in your machine.
All right. Well, we'll do some further check, and we'll try what you suggested.
If you can indeed do YouTube full screen without a problem, then the issue is bandwidth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I'm running Frontier on my desktop, and I have no problem there. So, like you say, it's two different machines. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All
right.
Yeah,
right. It might not be bandwidth from Frontier. It could be internal bandwidth to the machine. There's lots of connections.
Right. That's
inside.
What I was thinking
of. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Try a call from the laptop to your desktop and see how that works.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Well. Wow. There's an hour. We'll be back in just a few more minutes, a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Dave Enright, it's Steve Ray, it's Nick Francesco, and oh, by the way, it's you. It's 1 o'clock, and you are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites, on the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 5 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Oh, and a rebuttal to last week's endorsement.
Not
by
rebuttal,
Dave.
Just more information.
More information. Last week, Dave talked about his new Kodi box, K-O-D-I. You can see some information about it on our homepage. He says it's legal. Nick says it isn't.
The box itself is legal.
Yes, it is. This week, a legal case concerning the sale of video streaming set-top boxes like Kodi that can access subscription content for free began on Tuesday. So-called fully loaded Kodi boxes have gained popularity, but the legality of their sale is in question. Middleborough, England trader Brian Thompson appeared in court, accused of selling equipment that facilitated the circumvention of copyright protection measures. He pleaded not guilty to three charges. The trial has been described as a landmark case by industry watchers, and it starts on the 27th of October. Kodi is a free software program. It's free software designed to bring videos, music, games, and photographs together in one easy-to-use application. It began life as a program called Xbox Media Center, or XBMC, that added a feature-rich media player to the original Xbox games console. The open-source project was developed by volunteers and can now be installed on a variety of devices, including smartphones and computers, and, oh, by the way, Raspberry Pis. It can also be loaded onto television-connected devices such as the Amazon Fire Stick or Apple TV Box, although it is not supported by those manufacturers. Some shops sell ready-to-use set-top boxes or television sticks preloaded with the Kodi software. They are also known as Android boxes because many of the devices run Android as the primary operating system. The developers behind Kodi say their software does not contain any content of its own and is designed to play legally owned media or content freely available on the internet. However, the software can be modified with third-party add-ons that provide access to pirated copies of films and TV series or provide free access to subscription television channels. Some traders sell Kodi boxes preloaded with such third-party add-ons that can access pirated content. It is the sale of these fully loaded boxes that is the subject of a legal case. The makers of Kodi do not want the software advertised in this way. The developers behind Kodi have said they do not support piracy add-ons and have criticized those who advertise fully loaded set-top boxes for sale. The group said it would maintain a neutral stance on what users do with their own software, but would battle those using the Kodi trademark to sell a fully loaded Kodi box. Discussions about pirated content and add-ons that provide access are removed from its message board. So, how do you access paid content? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Now, a couple of the, you know, because I was following a lot of different, the forums up there. Of course, there's, they've got a whole forum, you know, based on the Kodi project and all that. And a lot of them are sticking to their guns in that as long as you're not downloading it, you don't actually have it on your machine as possession. Just like if you were to download music or movies and put, you know, have them right there, you know, to view anytime you want, that is piracy and you're breaking the law.
One of the
where they're and again, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one here on the radio, but you know, there's a fine line that because they're streaming it, you're not actually owning
well,
it.
Well, that's a lovely theory, but they aren't lawyers either.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just telling you some of the arguments in that were up there. And I'm one way or the other that they're
Johnny
right.
Johnny Cochran famously said, look, the law doesn't matter. What matters is the lawyer with the best, the client with the best lawyer wins.
Yeah. And one of the biggest contentions is that this software like this lets you watch HBO shows without paying for them. Let you watch Netflix shows without paying for them.
Right.
And if you're getting content you would normally have to pay for free, you are breaking the law somewhere.
Right.
And these arguments have went back to the early days of magnetic recording tape and the VCR battles that if you're recording a show on TV, you must be intending to violate copyright. It's sort of their interpretation, and then all the file sharing services, Napster and LimeWire. We didn't make this for piracy, just because 99% of our users are pirates. We didn't make it for piracy.
Right. I got to go the other way around. You know what? I got to go the other way around because there have been rules that say time shifting is not illegal. Mm-hmm. So that's why VCRs work. That's why DVD players work. Mm-hmm. Because you could say, I'm already paying for the let's say HBO.
Right.
I'm already paying for the content. I just can't watch it right now. Mm-hmm. So I record my legally obtained content and watch it later.
So if you're watching Game of Thrones without paying for
it. So it's the other way around, right? Yeah. If I'm accessing paid content for free, that's illegal. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if I'm saving it or just watching it. The illegal part happens when you stream paid content for free.
Mm-hmm. And that's what these fully loaded boxes are doing. They're taking the free software that by itself doesn't do anything illegal and adding illegal stuff to it.
Right.
So you can get HBO without paying for it. You can get Netflix without paying for
it. So what they're saying is not that it's illegal to own Kodi.
Yeah.
Right.
It's illegal to add all these third-party add-ons.
Well, that's what I was telling you. I'm really excited because this coming Friday, the newest and latest and greatest Roku boxes come out.
Yeah, the Rokus are great.
And I'm looking at the Roku Ultra.
Didn't they revamp their entire product line and canceled everything and started all over again, basically?
Well, pretty much.
Most of them come out this coming Friday, the 7th. And I was looking at this new one, like I was telling Nick. And the one thing I like about it is, again, I'm going to go with probably the Sling service. Because I was looking at all the, what I get through HBO, Time Warner versus what I can pay for Sling, and save like $60 a month because all the channels are there.
And get almost everything you want.
Through the Roku box. And, and the other feature about this new box that I like is it's got optical for my sound system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my sound bar and all that I love listening to, especially with TV programs, that some of them it just sounds so much better off the sound bar. But now I can hook it into the Roku and virtually do away with cable.
Right. And that's at what, Roku.com?
Yep.
Yep. I'm looking. They don't have a compare all button anymore.
Yeah.
So they've got six different models, and they don't have a compare all.
Right.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ken from Rochester, New York. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. I got a Chromebook.
Yeah.
And I'm having trouble. Two times I had a virus on it, and I got it fixed. That's no problem. Now I got a, I might say it wrong, Zeus virus. And the picture won't come off at all. And I don't know why. And another question I had was, if I get into my games, I like to do games. And when I dig one into the games, next minute it'll shut the whole thing off like a virus. And I had virus two times already. And how do you fix something like that?
Well, when you rebooted, was it still there?
Yes.
And how do you know you had a virus? What did it say?
I took it in. What happened first time when it came right out and said it had a virus on it?
It's lying to you to steal your money. Chromebooks do not get viruses yet. And any message you get like that is lying to steal your money.
So how can you get something like that off when it says hack or whatever?
Close the window and reboot should do
right.
It.
So here's the deal. There are people on the internet who are buying advertising, and most sites have advertising on them. And you go to that site, and that ad that they've bought pops up and puts up a window that says, you've got a virus, call this number.
Yes.
That's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can't get out. How can I get out?
Turn the machine off.
I did already. I turned on off the machine.
Yeah.
And then I let it go for a little bit, and I turned back on, and I got the same thing.
Did you go back to that same site?
It would not let me go to any site.
Sounds like it's asleep,
not
off.
Right there, like it was frozen.
How did you turn it off?
I turned it off on top where it has a circle and the log line.
You hold that down for like 7 or 8 seconds?
Yes. And it shuts right off.
You're not just pushing it, you're holding it down.
Yeah, I'm holding it down. It shuts right off.
Is there a auto-resume feature in Chrome? Safari had this problem, too, that trying to be nice to you, it automatically reloads all the windows you had open last time, including the malicious window.
Okay.
There may be
You know what? You might have one of those malicious extensions.
That could be.
In Chrome browser, if you installed that extension, then every time you turn the machine on, it's going to come back because it's an extension.
And some of the ads will install extensions for you.
Right. So what you need to do is to get rid of a malicious extension. And generally speaking, if you can still get to the system tray, which is the little thing at the bottom right, which has the clock and your picture.
Clock and picture.
Right.
It may have changed his homepage.
I don't know where it is. It's like an expressway when you turn it on first. And then it got like, I didn't have any picture and it was like frozen. The whole picture was frozen inside.
Yeah, it's trying to take over your machine and it's locking up.
What is it? Safe? Is there a safe boot in Chrome?
Well, there's
to not load extensions.
There's a power wash thing that you can do, but that's not good.
Well, power wash, or just reset the thing. Do a factory reset.
That should do it, too.
Yeah, if you do a factory reset, what that's doing is putting everything back to the day you took it out of the box.
And we'll remove all the malicious
right.
extensions.
Yeah, if you cannot get to the... do you get to the point where you can actually log in?
Yeah, I can log in. I have to log in my... login
right from Google
the password yeah
right
and then when I do that it'll go right to like it says it has a
right okay you get to the browser and then that window comes up
yeah
now the question is can you in the lower right corner see the clock and maybe the battery in the lower right corner in a little gray rectangle, you should be able to still see the clock and maybe your picture and the battery.
Yeah, I got the battery right there.
Okay. So what you do is you click on that.
Do I have to put the password in first and then do
yes,
it,
once
or?
Once you've typed in your password and it boots up and you see that screen, okay. Down in that lower right corner where the clock and the battery and all that stuff is, you click on that and click settings.
Okay, do I have to enter first?
Enter what first?
For password.
You type in your password, you hit enter, and then the system boots. And then you see in the lower right corner the time and the battery and your picture.
Okay. Now, do I have to hit battery, you said?
I don't know what I said anymore. Here's the thing. Once you've logged in and you see that, can you log in?
I'm logged in already.
All right. And down in the lower right corner is that clock and the battery and your picture.
Yes.
Click on that. And okay. You should see settings.
I got, would it be ASSESIBI?
No.
Oh.
Farther down toward the bottom, at the bottom, you will see the date. Just above that, you should see the word settings next to a little gear.
Okay. It just says, I got the date, and then up here is like a box. It says 98%.
That's the battery.
Yeah.
Next to that, it should say settings.
It doesn't say settings.
What
it does
says, it say?
It says 654 left. That's it. It says, I don't see any settings on it.
I honestly...
Oh, that's the time left. Farther, go... So your battery percentage.
Oh yeah. That should be right. Now you need to look a little bit to the left, and you should see the word settings. A little bit to the left.
There should be a little gear icon.
All right. You know what? Doesn't matter. Click on that. Percentage or time left. Click on that, and you should see settings.
No. Nothing. The whole thing is like frozen.
All right, look, we got to take a break. Stay on the line. We don't normally do tech support over the phone while people are on the line, but stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we've got Ken from Rochester, New York on the line. All right, Ken.
Yes.
Here's the deal. Reboot your Chromebook and write this down. Don't do it while we're on the line because we got a whole bunch of other calls we have
I'm
to get
sorry.
To. No, it's okay, but write this down.
Okay.
Reboot your Chromebook And when
what,
you
what is it now?
Turn off your Chromebook, wait 10 seconds, and then restart it again.
Okay.
When you get to the sign-on screen, don't sign on.
Okay.
Instead, hold down the Control, the Shift, the Alt key, and press R all at once.
Okay.
Then you'll see a screen with some stuff on it, one choice of which is restart. And when you get restart, then you'll...
Reset.
I meant reset. And then you can reset your Chromebook.
And that will delete the malicious thing that's got into your computer.
Right, and that'll get rid of it. It'll bring it right back to the opening panel, and then you log in as normal. It'll take a few minutes, but everything will come back the way it was.
Now, how do you really fix it? It won't do it again.
Well, it'll
don't go back to websites.
Yeah, the problem is these things are just all over the web, and every once in a while you're going to get one. But if you've written down these steps, you'll be able to fix it every time.
Okay, turn off the for 10 minutes.
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Then restart it again.
Okay, just a minute. Restart again.
And instead of logging in, before you log in, type Control, Shift, Alt, and R simultaneously.
Control, Shift,
Alt, and R.
Like a three-finger salute.
Only it's four fingers.
Four fingers.
Yeah. Control, Alt, Delete.
Stop.
Yeah.
Control, Shift, Alt, R.
Okay.
Let's don't confuse the issue.
No, you're right.
Yeah, Control, Shift, O-L-T.
A-L-T.
A-L-T.
Right, Control, Shift, Alt, R.
R. Okay.
So all four keys.
And then you'll see a restart and
reset.
No, you'll see restart first.
Restart, then reset.
Then reset.
Okay.
Okie doke?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Almost goes back to what we were talking earlier, caller, that was having trouble with Windows. Sometimes the easiest thing is erase and reinstall.
Right.
And on Chrome, that's especially easy.
Once you log in, it'll come back and say, oh, it's like a brand new Chromebook.
Yep.
Oh, you've logged in and you don't have anything on this Chromebook. What did you have? Because it's all up on the web.
Yep.
And it puts it all back. Takes a couple minutes, depending on how fast your system is. But when you're done, you have your Chromebook back the way it always was. Yeah. So, our next caller is Mark. Mark, where are you calling from?
Hemlock, New York.
Hemlock. How are things in Hemlock?
Just ducky.
There you go. What can we do for you?
I've got an old Dell Optiplex computer.
Oh, sure.
That the other night, I got a blue screen of death, which has happened before, and I usually just have to reset the RAM slots.
Yep.
So I just turned it off, went to bed. Next day I got up, went to turn it on, nothing happens. Absolutely nothing happens when
yeah,
I hit the switch.
That's an issue.
So I pulled it all apart this morning. I thought, hoping it was the power supply. But I pulled the plug on the main board. I short the two pins on the power supply, the green and the black, and the fan spins up. I got good voltage at all the things. I pulled the board at the front where the switch is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can click that little switch, but nothing happens.
Yeah, it's possible that it's your RAM. You've been having problems with RAM. If the RAM shorted something out, I would take those RAM chips out and take a look and see if there's any scorch anywhere.
Okay.
But it, you know, how old is this machine?
Oh, it's old.
Yeah, it owes you nothing, and it's done.
No, it doesn't.
It just honestly sounds like it's done. I mean, if you want to play, but it's probably time to move on.
It should. The fan should come on, though, even without the RAM chips in, right?
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically.
It should, absolutely.
And most motherboards will give you a missing RAM error tone.
Right.
Yeah, I have no tones, none of the little lights that were on the board at the front of the, where the power switch is. Nothing up there lights up.
It may well be that what's dead is not the RAM, but the motherboard itself, in which case.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing that lights up is there's a little amber light that blinks all the time on the board.
Blinks or is on?
It blinks. It's just sitting here blinking. When there's when the computer's plugged in. it sits there blinking, but the power supply is not running, the fan's not running or anything when it's, you know, when that big plug's plugged into the motherboard. It, the power supply fan only comes on when I short across that green and black wire.
Is that the power light button?
It's not the power light button at the front. It's a little LED down on the motherboard.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, generally, that's the motherboard's kind of dead. It means that what's happening is the power supply still works, but power's not getting much past the start of the motherboard.
Is there any pattern to the blinking? Because sometimes the patterns give you the error.
No, it's just a solid blinking.
On-off, yeah.
And like I said, the fan doesn't even come on the power supply.
That's the standby power light.
Okay.
There's some power reaching it, but which is it doesn't mean much of anything, actually, to be honest with you.
Okay.
If there are no beeps or anything else, all of that together tells you
nothing does anything. When I press the switch for the front, nothing does anything. The fan on the power supply doesn't come on. Absolutely nothing happens.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
It's dead.
It's dead, Jim.
Sounds like the motherboard's dead.
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Well, now I get to get a new computer.
Oh boy!
Hey.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Well, I'm glad we were able to make him happy there.
Yeah.
For a minute.
Honey, the Soundbites guys told me I have to.
Yeah, it's our fault. It's all right. I get the stink eye from my wife. I don't need it from somebody else's wife, too. I already told her, I'm getting a new Chromebook. She says, you got a lot of Chromebooks. I said, define a lot, because I don't think I do. All right,
even if it's six.
Under six.
That's not a lot.
It's absolutely under six. Even counting the CR48, it's under six. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. I was calling because a zone alarm wouldn't reinstall, but while I was waiting, I actually managed to fix that.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, but the what I've noticed is that with this new Windows update, I put it in last week, and I thought it was all installed, but all of a sudden a whole bunch of stuff installed later this week.
That's the anniversary update, yeah.
Yeah, and then all my printers stopped working.
Yep, that's the anniversary update. Welcome to it.
Okay.
Here's the deal.
Happy anniversary!
The zone alarm was not working. I was getting problems with it, and then I'd go down to the hidden icons thing, and it just said initializing, and it wasn't initializing. It wasn't doing anything.
Right.
So I hit Revo, and I took it out, put it back in, and this time it went through okay.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
In general, the registry is a piece of garbage.
Always has been.
Always has been. And it's gotten worse with Windows 10 anniversary update. Particularly if you had a Windows 7 machine that you updated to 10.
Mm-hmm.
But even new 10 to 10 anniversary, if there's any cruft at all in the registry, the anniversary update gets crazier. And you particularly find that unsigned drivers or drivers that were written for 7 and 10 let them slide no longer slide in the anniversary update. So if you have devices that have stopped working, like, everything, you have to go to the manufacturer and get the specific new, properly signed Windows 10 drivers for those devices.
That's interesting, because when I went to the sites and looked for them, my laser printer is a Samsung, and it doesn't have one. So I just went back and said, okay, use the driver that's installed. And I did, and it grabbed it, and because it's set up as a network printer, and it went in, and it's now working fine again.
Well, then it's a signed driver that you already have. That it just wasn't.
Oh, all right.
It just needed to be and that's the other thing we're finding is that many of them just need to be uninstalled and reinstalled because, God forbid, the anniversary update accepts what was in Windows already. Sorry, did I rant about that momentarily? I apologize.
That's okay. My Chromebook looks better every day.
That's exactly how it works.
I just have too much invested in this unit, and it's too new to throw it away just yet.
No, I absolutely get that. You know, I do. I have one Windows laptop that I have to keep for teaching.
Now, if you download Windows 10 now, do you get the anniversary update pre-installed?
No.
So that they need to all roll
as far
that
as
in.
As far as I know, it's still a separate update.
I'm not doing that anniversary.
Well, a lot of people are not. I did it on my laptop, and it went fine. But I also had nothing else plugged into it and nothing else installed on it. I uninstalled my printer driver. I mean, I uninstalled my printer. So that was all, and I did it with Revo. So it was all gone. Everything was gone. It was like a brand new registry, and so the anniversary update worked fine.
See, I don't worry about it because, like I say, I do all my surfing and everything else, email and everything else, off my Chromebook.
Right.
That desktop unit is just there to run certain applications.
Right.
So I got the Windows 10 update, went with that. It works. That's all I care about. It just sits over there, and I use it when I need to. Otherwise, my Chromebook, I don't worry about viruses, anything else, and it works. No OS updates and all that other junk that messes things up.
Right.
Yeah. What I did find is it. You know, I was really afraid it was going to totally mess everything up. It left the internet connection alone. It left my map network drives alone. It just seemed not like the printer drivers, and it really did want a new version of Zone Alarm, and I may have messed up the install on that, so I just used Revo to take it out and start it all over.
Right, and the reason is all of those things are non-Microsoft things,
mm-hmm.
right? Connecting network drives, that's inside Microsoft itself, so Microsoft got that right, shockingly. But the other drivers, it does not like them, Sam I Am, because mm-hmm. they are from a third party. So if you uninstall them and reinstall them, that often solves the problem. Sometimes you have to go up and get a newer version, particularly if you did an upgrade from 7.
Okay.
All right.
It's going to be interesting because I got to figure out that my DeskJet is a 4-in-1. And before I used to put a fax driver up there, and now it's not doing that. So I got to figure out what's going on with that one. But
yeah, Again, see if there's a better driver for that up.
Faxes are being deprecated?
Faxes are deprecated, absolutely. We just got something the other day that required it to be faxed in or mailed. I thought, I don't think we can mail into the past. I don't understand that.
Does that compute?
They didn't have an email address. They didn't have anything, just a fax and a telephone number. I said, we need to find a different service. Well, I can't live like this. All right. Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Congratulations, by the way, that everything is semi-working. That's excellent.
Semi-working. That should be Windows logo. Their slogan.
Congratulations. It's semi-working. I'm for that. It's getting to be more and more complex. Upgrading is still a problem. Actually doing it, not so bad. But upgrading has caused most of the problems people have. The other set of problems is old drivers.
And older machines. The hardware and everything else. Right. Because that's the whole thing.
And for a computer, the definition of old is yesterday. So your old printer you might have bought 2 years ago.
Well, that's the other thing. The part of the problem is we go to the store and there's a $700 computer and a $500 computer. And the $500 computer does everything we need to do so we don't spend the $700. But the $500 computer is actually a six-year-old computer.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so although we just bought it,
mm-hmm.
the innards are 6 years old. So when Windows goes to update it, it says, you know, if this was a five-year-old computer, I'd be happy. But a six-year-old computer, I just don't have the stuff.
Yep.
I don't care about it, and I didn't update to it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have Larry from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Larry?
Hi, guys. I got a frustrating nuisance problem I've been dealing with ever since I upgraded from Windows 7 to 10 on my laptop. What happens is that at what seems to be random times, my screen will just go blank, and I have to re-log in again. And I've gone through and done the settings, what I wanted them to be, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. And it seems to be sometimes it'll be a long time, and sometimes it seems like a couple minutes before it just goes blank on me.
Now, does it look like the laptop is completely shutting off?
No, it's more like it goes, well, I'm not sure it's consistent, but most of the time what happens is the screen goes blank, and then if I wiggle the mouse again, I'll come up and get the log on screen. Have to log in again.
It's turning on the screensaver.
Yeah.
Hot corners? Accidental hot corner?
That's certainly a possibility. Go ahead.
Somewhere in settings, display settings maybe, there is a setting for a hot corner for you to invoke the screensaver by moving your mouse into a corner. And if you accidentally have that turned on, then you can randomly turn on the screensaver by moving your mouse around. So if the hot corner is in the lower left and you're reaching for the start button, you may accidentally move it too far to get into that hot corner.
Mm.
Right. And so what you want to do is turn off those hot corners.
I'm trying to find where you do that.
The problem. I really should bring my Windows 10 machine. I really don't want to, but I really should.
But we had a big Chrome question today.
We did. We did.
And then you would have said I should have brought my Chromebook.
That's right. You can't win them all. Apparently I can't win any of them. But you can in your hot corners.
Is that an immediate turn off, or is there a timer on that before it goes into it?
There is also a timer. So after 10 minutes of idle, it could turn on the screensaver. But there can also be hot corners.
But if it's hot corners, if I go to the hot corners, it go immediately.
Generally, yes.
Now this seems to have some kind of a delay on it. When I'm not doing anything and all of a sudden the screen goes blank.
Maybe your screen lock is set to a minute or really short.
Right. You need to change your
It's screensaver.
Screensaver.
Well, right click on the desktop. Set to 20 minutes and it's a lot shorter than that sometimes.
Well, there's also
Energy saver.
There's energy saver. There's screen saver. The other thing that it could easily be
spin down your hard drive.
Is that
another one that Windows 7 and even back XP hated?
Right.
When it would spin down the hard drive, it would choke quite often in trying to spin it back up. It just didn't alert to it, and it would lock up the machine.
Right. There's 50 different places this could be happening, but the screensaver settings in Windows 10 is
under
probably
setting where it has screen and sleep. I've got the screen set for 45 minutes when it's plugged in,
right,
and 15 minutes on battery, and sleep I've got set for 20 minutes on battery and an hour when I'm plugged in.
Was this a machine that was in Windows 7 and you updated?
Yes.
I'm wondering if there isn't a video driver that you have to download because it's not properly setting itself up. It's not properly recognizing that the mouse and the keyboard are still being used.
Could be.
Again, you've got to go to the manufacturer of your laptop, and if it's old enough, they're not going to have anything for Windows 10. But in general, if you go to the people who created your laptop, the manufacturer of your laptop, then they should have a set of updated drivers for Windows 10. Make sure those are the ones that are installed. If they're not, follow their directions for downloading them and installing them.
Okay.
Beyond that, I honestly don't know what to tell you because theoretically that shouldn't be an issue.
That's what I thought.
As a test, you could set the screensaver and energy saver both to none and see if it happens. that would tell you if it is the screensaver or not.
True.
Okay.
But then don't remember it's set to none, and don't forget it's set to none when you want it to sleep.
Right.
Yeah, well, quite often what I'll do on a laptop is when it's on power, I turn everything, all the settings off, and just leave the, you know, conservation settings and that to...
Battery.
In other words, I set everything when it's powered in, just turn all that other stuff off and see how that works.
Yeah, so while it's on power, set all the sleeps to none.
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing with the energy saver is saving the laptop battery.
Yeah.
And when you're plugged in, it doesn't need to save the battery.
You don't need it. And then once you're done anyways, most of the time you're shutting it down anyhow.
And that little time where it goes to sleep and you have to wake it up again is an annoying interruption.
Could be enough
interruption.
To just, like say, previous versions of Windows did not like, you know, those energy, as they put it, energy conservation things. Spinning down the hard drive, dropping the video, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Don't use them.
And you do that, you fix that under personalization. And you can get to that in about 50 different ways. If you just open up settings and type in personalization, you'll get to it. And it'll show you how to do that. It might be that you want to change. I don't think the themes has anything to do with that anymore. So, but there's that. And then, of course... you could also just go into settings and type screensaver, and it'll bring up the screen, and it'll point to the screensaver settings. As Steve and Dave said, you can change the screensaver. You can also set it to not display the log on screen on resume. That's dangerous if you take your laptop out of your house. Of course, if you don't take your laptop out of your house, why did you buy a laptop? But
yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Also,
on the couch
under,
with the desktop is tricky.
Right. under screensaver, you can also change the power settings, which you should also look at because that will turn things off. So you need to look in both places.
Yeah, I've got the power options on balanced, whatever that means.
That's good. Balanced basically means... You're balancing between longer battery life and performance. You know, some people prefer performance over battery life. Others prefer battery life over performance. So, for example, you know, if you're going out and you're going to spend 10 hours sitting in a cafe writing the great American novel, you want battery life over performance because you're just typing.
Right.
Right. So you can change that, particularly on the fly. And that's useful, but that's the way I would do it.
Okay, well, you gave me some things here that I didn't know anything about, so I can pursue anyway and maybe find it.
Yep.
Thanks
a lot. All right,
you're very welcome. It's our day for weird little problems. It's the weird little problems that are most annoying and most hardest to find too.
Right. It's a, excuse me, and it's very quick. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Ithaca, New York. What's up, Ed?
Hi, I've got another screen problem. I just went to my laptop and the screen is black, and so I left it on, but I can't tell what it's doing, what it's not doing. It's a gateway. It updated itself on Windows 10, did the recent update this week. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not. So I can't get the screen on, and I hooked it up to an external screen, and it doesn't do anything.
And you've turned the machine off and back on again?
Yes.
Do you get the initial Windows or computer starting up text messages?
No.
Question for you. Is this an older machine?
It's probably, I don't know. I've had it a number of years, probably 5.
It might be one of those machines that's not compatible with Windows 10.
Oh, it was fine for several months.
That's the anniversary update then.
Yeah, I've had some folks, though, get Windows 10 initially installed and run, and then they did an update.
Yeah.
And no matter what we did, we could not get it to go reload.
Yeah, the Windows
10
anniversary update is causing all kinds of problems. But you're saying when you turn it on, you don't see anything on the screen at all from there.
Totally black. And it was working this morning. It was after the update.
Right.
Can you hear it powering on? Because maybe it's not even turning on.
I wasn't listening. I don't know.
Well, but do you see any lights on the...
Well, there are lights on the keyboard. There's only, there's a blue light and a red light on the bottom right, and there's a number light that's lit up.
If you never see any video at all, then it sounds to me like the video card has an issue.
Ah, okay.
And particularly if you can't get it either internally or externally, it's the video card, not the screen itself.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I most laptops, that's integrated, so time for a new computer.
Thank you.
Sorry, Ed. All right, we're done. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back in just 166 hours. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow as far as possible. And we'll be back with a whole lot more next week of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.